The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I don't know if Tua sliding and Justin Herbert rising is smokescreen or it's real, but I know one thing. I might just have the biggest Justin Herbert champion in the world. Right here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up in this hour, 30 minutes from now, we draft the best comedy special since 2000. That'll be our homework this weekend. Nemo, Bubbles, Pat, Mike A., and myself will each nominate our favorite. We'll see who wins on Monday. Coming at 5:30, the best comedy specials since 2000. But on my phone lines now is, look, it could be Jeff Schwartz, ESPN football analyst, or it could be ESPN front office insider Mike Tannenbaum, who's the biggest Justin Herbert champion that I have found. You think you win that, Mike? Are you Justin Herbert's biggest champion?
Yeah, hopefully, Will, you can hear me live from Eugene, Oregon, from the Herbert compound. I just want you to know, though, we are still standing 6 feet away, so even though my love affair with Justin Herbert continues, we are adhering to the social distancing guidelines.
That's so responsible of you, Mike. I'm so happy that no matter what emotions you feel, you will always maintain current social norms. Mike Tannenbaum here on the Will Cain Show. How much do you like Herbert? Do you like him more than Joe Burrow?
Well, no, I don't. But, and here's what I like about Herbert. I think he's a high floor and a really good ceiling player. And if you look at his body of work, you know, Will, he's built to last. He looks a lot to me like Ben Roethlisberger. I've seen him up close a number of times. And if the University of Oregon's defense had one stop against Auburn, you're talking about a one-loss Oregon team that's playing in the Final Four. He played really well down the stretch against really good defenses against Utah, Wisconsin. He was the MVP of the Senior Bowl. He threw the ball really well at the combine. I thought he got off a little slow with some of the slants, but by the end, he was clearly the most talented player in terms of throwing the football. And football is really important to him. I don't think that offense played to his strengths necessarily. So when you put his whole body of work, competitiveness, toughness, body size, prototype, intelligence, I think what you're going to have at the end of the day is a really good NFL player.
Do you think, and I know it's hard right now to have your finger on the pulse, or maybe it's not because everybody can get on the phones, it's easier to get people to answer. Do you think your opinion is, I know it's shared in some NFL circles, but is it shared commonly enough that he ends up going, what, third, fifth? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a simple question, Will, and a complicated answer because, again, I think it goes right into the Tua discussion. And the challenge with Tua, and I think what a lot of people are forgetting is, Will, you do a great job. You have a national radio show, and you work your tail off to get ready. You read. You call people. You have great producers. You go through a very detailed process to put on a great show each and every day. And that's what GMs do. They go through a process. And when you're dealing with a complicated hip injury, one in which, unfortunately, I had to deal with, you want to bring him in. You want to see strength of where the socket is. You want to see range of motion. You want to know from your experts what's the chances of re-injury. There's a detailed process, and we're expecting a general manager to make possibly a transformational decision and just skip all those steps in his process. I think that's we're being unfair. And Tua, let's hope he has the career that he deserves. He's a very talented player. But there is a process in place, and everyone who's good at what they do professionally adheres to a certain process. And now we're going to expect some team to make a very significant decision and just bypass that. And I think that's a little bit unfair.
Mike, you had to deal with that hip issue personally or with a player that you guys signed?
Two different players that we had to deal with that had it. And just looking at the body language of the doctors, they hate this injury because in the NFL, Will, we want certainty. We want ACLs and Achilles because we know how they're going to respond. What happens is this is not a well vascularized area of the body, and because of that, you just don't know about the blood flow. And we've had players that have gone to see two and three specialists. They've injected dye into certain joints just to see what kind of blood flow there is, and it's a very detailed process. And again, I'm not trying to make the situation worse than it is, because hopefully he's going to have a great career. My point is simply there's a lot of steps that ordinarily you would go through, especially on a quarterback that you're going to take presumably in the top five. Devin White, the fifth pick last year of Tampa Bay, had close to $30 million in guarantees. And even though you could see some of these scans through the internet and share them and MRIs and other diagnostic tests, it's not the same as getting your hands on the player.
Who were those two players? Do you mind telling me who were the two with hip issues?
Albert Wilson and Mike Pouncey. And again, those are just, there's a lot of players that have had significant hip injuries. And again, both those players have been able to return to play. Both very good players, very good people. I'm just saying from a process standpoint, sure, in dealing with those situations, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And with any player and any body part nowadays, you're usually going to get two or three, you know, different opinions. But when you're dealing with hips in particular, Will, it's a situation where you want to go through a very detailed process to know exactly where you are and the likelihood of success. And again, with Tua, all signs sound great. My point is the context of this decision is you're talking about so much guaranteed money. It's really hard for somebody to cross it without making a decision without crossing every T and dotting every I.
No, I hear you 100% on that. You know, just conversationally, not as a point of rebuttal and debate. I feel like I've known people who the hip surgery used to be totally debilitating, right? And they would get infected. And my father was an attorney. He used to talk about the lawsuits that went on with some of these hip replacements that went in. But then I don't know what it was 10 years ago. I started knowing guys that got it, and it just went way more successfully. That being said, Mike, I'm not rebutting what you're saying because we're not talking about 55 or 60-year-old people that get their hip replaced and can walk around successfully. We're talking about a 20-year-old who needs to be able to handle a hit from a 300-pounder. So I know what we're talking about is totally different here. And the point of the hip you're making and how vital it is and how unique of an injury it is well taken here. Do you worry about this when it comes to Tua? I talked to this yesterday with Jim Nagy. One of his concerns was not just the injury, but look at what Tua had around him. Like everything. First round picks on the offensive line, four first rounders at wide receiver, Najee Harris, Nick Saban. Are you worried at all that Tua was a product of his environment?
A little bit, and I think another comparison you hear a lot of is Drew Brees. And you look at Brees, you know, when you have some quarterbacks like Brees, Baker Mayfield, Tua, they're height deficient and they're speed deficient. And because of that, you need a really good offensive line. And you look at the historic sort of performance that Drew Brees has had, one of the key for them has been a really good offensive line, two really good guards, a center. You can trace the lineage of that same offensive line. They put a lot of resources into that. Likewise, I think what Cleveland's done this offseason has been fantastic. I think they're going to put Baker Mayfield in a much better chance to be successful going forward. And I think your point's well taken, which is, look, that offensive line was dominant, and it allowed Tua to have a clean pocket. And some of these other quarterbacks athletically are better than he is and therefore could buy a second chance, whereas Tua needs a lot of good things around him. And if he does, he has a chance to be really good.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL Front Office Insider here on the Will Cain Show. I want to run something by you. I don't even know what the question is, Mike, but I found this fascinating today. Daniel Jeremiah, who does draft analysis for the NFL Network, does a great job. He tweeted this out. He said, a GM told him mock drafts have never been more off in their memory from what the league actually thinks. And he said what happens is in the past when all these scouts and GMs can get in one place, you know, pro days and so forth, they start sharing opinions and opinions become consensus and they all start thinking the same way, but everybody's scattered and developing their own opinions. And the draft could just be chock full of surprises and we're going to be going, I can't believe that guy went that high because our mocks are totally off and we don't know what teams are thinking. What do you have to say to that?
That's interesting. I get to the same conclusion for different reasoning. And my reasoning for this year is going to be, I think you're going to see good players from big schools get overdrafted. I'll give you a great example. Damon Arnett, corner Ohio State. He's a decent college player that hopefully has played better and will go on and do good things. But there's some holes in his game. But I think this is the year that people are going to buy the J&J stock and the Amazon stock and these blue chip companies. And some of these players that are more talented from, you know, lower division schools just don't have the exposure that ordinarily they do. So I don't think you're going to see teams take as much risk. And I think when we look back 2 or 3 years, we're going to see fifth and sixth rounders maybe outplay some of these players in the second and third round.
All right. I think surprises could be fun. Mike Tannenbaum here on the Will Cain Show. I always appreciate your time, man. Have fun. It's going to be a fun week heading up to the draft, Mike. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Will. Really appreciate it.
You bet. It's Mike Tannenbaum here on the Will Cain Show. I told you earlier, I talked to one of the top prospects, a first-rounder, Yetur Gross-Matos from Penn State, earlier in the show. We talked about some of the tragedies in his life, and he's had many. I'm going to give you the second part of our conversation, and it includes, where's the toughest stadium in college football? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, it's almost time to draft. Our homework this weekend, the best stand-up special since 2000. You know we've done this every week since the quarantine, I guess. We've nominated a movie category, a genre. We each have drafted one, all five of us, Nemo, Bubbles, Mike A., Pat, and myself. Do our homework of the weekend, see who wins on Monday. This week, our category is not movies. In fact, it's stand-up specials. We got a big board. I'll run over it in just a moment, and in 15 minutes, we'll draft what our homework is this weekend. But I want to play for you part two of my conversation with Yetur Gross-Matos. He's a defensive end. He's an edge rusher from Penn State. Jump the gun, Pat. Let me set it up here. In the first part, I talked to him about his life. He's had unfathomable tragedy in his life. When he was two, he was sitting in his father's arms on the back of a boat. They slipped into the water. His father fished him out, held him up, and his grandfather grabbed him, and his father slipped under the water and drowned. Then, some years later, his 12-year-old older brother was on a little league field with the whole family watching and was struck by lightning and killed. Yetur, whose name means encircled by love and family, obviously has persisted through this incredible tragedy. He's now, most likely, almost certainly a first-round pick in the NFL draft. And I got the chance to talk to him yesterday, and I asked him about his football career, who he wants to be like, who he compares himself to, and the toughest place to play in college football. Listen, man, it's almost trivial to ask about what your biggest challenge has been on the football field after we talk about the kinds of challenges you've dealt with in your life. But as you bring up those moments you persevered through, like, what was your hardest moment so far in football, high school, college, whenever it was? What was the biggest challenge in your football career?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously football, everybody gets banged and bruised up. You know, it's just the nature of the game. But I never really, you know, had an injury that I had to sit out for ever in my football career. You know, even broken bones and stuff, just to go out there and play. But, you know, this past season I had to have I had an injury on my hand that I had to sit out for a game. So I said that was probably my biggest struggle, and learning how to, you know, still be a factor on my team and a leader in a different way than going out there and playing. I came back in the bowl game and played with a club on. So trying to figure out how to play with a club on is kind of a struggle too. So I say playing through that was kind of my biggest struggle with football.
And what was the solution? Hit them harder? You don't have to grip them if you knock them down? What do you do about playing with a club on your hand?
It was kind of like learning how to play football again without using my left hand, going out there being one-handed. So it was definitely strange, but I got through it, and I was able to go out there and help my team. So yeah, at the end of the day, I got accomplished what I was looking for.
Outside of Happy Valley, so you can't choose Happy Valley, talking to Yetur Gross-Matos, Penn State, edge rusher here on the Will Cain Show, you can't pick your home stadium. What's the most intimidating college football environment you ever went into?
That's a good one. I'd probably say Ohio State and the Buckeye Stadium. I mean, it was like, I remember my freshman year when we went down there, it was just, like a sea of like black and red. And I was like, holy crap. Like, this is super, like this is super big. And you know, I still have, we didn't have the whiteout or anything yet. So it was kind of like my first real big football game. And I just remember like kind of being shook by how many people were there and the loudness of the stadium. So I definitely say Ohio State.
I was in Columbus, that 2017 game you're talking about. We did a radio show for that game, Ohio State, Penn State. I remember that moment, that game. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Talking to Itur Grossmatos here on the Will Cain Show. So if a team drafts you, what do they get? What are they drafting? What is the thing that a fan base, even, not just a coaching staff, is going to be excited about? Itur Grossmatos is on our team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're getting a player who's, you know, very versatile. You know, displayed that versatility in college. You know, rushing, you know, from the inside one to the outside five. So, you know, someone who's got a lot of different things he can do across the defensive line, and you know, someone who's extremely hardworking and ready to learn, ready to get better from you know, the vets in the room and the coaches who are going to take me, you know, to the next level. As someone who's always going to keep working and keep getting better. And I think someone who's going to, you know, be able to come in and impact team, you know, from day one. So
I'm looking at one of these draft profiles for you and what they say. They have you as the third rated edge rusher behind Kalavon Chaisson and Chase Young. It talks about you have some growing to do into your body. You have a lot of bend. You're fast. And you can be physical, but there's some maturity required to your game physically. What would you say to that kind of criticism?
I'd say, you know, I do think I have a lot of things to work on. You know, I mean, especially I think one of my biggest things, you know, be my eyes and my hand placement. But I don't think I have a problem being physical with anybody. So, you know, that's part of my game, and that's not changing.
Itur, I'm sure this comes up in the interviews as well. This is mentioned, obviously, in all your draft profiles, and I've read the stories about this. You've been named in a lawsuit for hazing at Penn State. I'm sure it's come up on the interviews. What can you say? What do you say to teams that ask you about this?
Actually, I can't comment on that one.
I understand that. I understand the way the legal process works. Let me ask you this. Can you answer that when teams ask you about it? Is that something you're capable of addressing even in those environments? You don't have to tell me how, but can you to teams?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Thank you for addressing that. And all these questions, I know some of them are very personal. I appreciate your time today. But I want to end back on football, okay, man? So, look, I'm a Cowboys fan. Cowboys need an edge rusher. Everybody on this show is a fan of some team. We got Giants fans. We got Jets fans. We have Eagles fans. Who would you say, and we can get what you bring to the football field, but everybody likes to work in simple comps, right? So who would you say, historically, I don't care how far back you go, you can go to a current player, but who you say when you look at them, you're like, that's me, that's who I model my game after?
I'd probably say Jason Pierre-Paul. I grew up watching him and you know, taking from his game, you know, the way he played with, you know, switching lanes. And, you know, he's part of my favorite team. I always grew up a Giants fan, so. I always looked up to Jason Pierre-Paul and kind of modeled my game after him.
All right, Itur Grossmatos, soon to be perhaps, I don't know, a Seahawk, a Viking, a Cowboy, probably not a Giant unless you fall or you rise. But either way, man, I wish you a ton of luck. I really appreciate you taking on all the questions and being honest with me today. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
That was my conversation with the Penn State defensive end, edge rusher, and soon-to-be NFL player. Impressive dude. Really impressive dude. All right, our homework. Watch the best comedy special since 2000. All five of us are going to draft our favorites. Here's what's on the big board. A couple Bill Burr specials. You people are all the same, and I'm sorry you felt that way. A couple Chappelle specials. Killing Them Softly, Sticks and Stones, For What It's Worth. Burt Kreischer, Anthony Jeselnik, Louis C.K., Live at the Beacon, Daniel Tosh, Happy Thoughts. Joe Rogan, Triggered. We've got Gabriel Iglesias, Patrice O'Neill. I've had a tweet that we should put Patton Oswalt up there. Couple more calls to fill out the big board, and we draft the best comedy special since 2000. Next on the Will Cain Show.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Let's do it. Let's draft the homework. Best comedy specials since 2000. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's do this quick. Let's fill out the big board. What do we miss? I'm going to go around the horn. Josh from Kentucky, what do I need to put up on the big board?
Hey, Will. Big fan of the show. Also big fan of Bill Burr. You all have missed one, though. 2008, Why Do I Do This? One of the all-time great stand-ups. Up there with George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. Typical Bill Burr fashion, starts off and you're like, uncomfortable, not sure where he's going to go with it, and just incredibly funny. One of the all-time greats and best Bill Burr stand-up.
That's strong, Josh. That's strong. I appreciate the call. Why Do I Do This joins. You people are all the same, and I'm sorry you felt that way, or I'm sorry you feel that way on the Bill Burr nominations. Quickly now, Raymond from West Virginia. What do we need to put on the board, Raymond?
Hey, Will. Great show. You and your team are doing a good job.
Thank you.
I can't believe anybody hasn't mentioned this yet, but Robin Williams, his last stand-up show, Weapons of Self-Destruction.
Don't think I've seen that. Here's the thing. I appreciate the call, Raymond. If somebody like Pat does Patrice O'Neill or Burt Kreischer or even this Robin Williams, I'm going to be all right with it because I'm curious. I haven't seen it. Last one, Patrick from Nashville. What's up, Patrick?
Will, since you're picking last, you're going to need all the help you can get. I think I got a big upset pick for you, man.
Okay.
Bob Saget. He's completely like a 180 from Mr. Tanner on Full House.
He's super dirty, right? Isn't he super dirty or something?
Yes, he's super dirty. I'm telling you, you have an upset pick right there, man.
All right, I am picking fifth. I'll think about that. Here's how it is right now. Appreciate the call, man. I'm picking fifth. Mike A has the top pick, then Pat, then Bubba, then Nuno, then me. It's because I'm the winner, you know. I won again on the Buddy Cop movies. So I only have three. I have three that I have seen and loved. I've seen some of these others, and they're not going to be the ones I pick. I've seen three that I love, and if these boys take them, I'm out of luck. So if one of my three doesn't make it to the fifth pick, I'm in trouble. All right, let's do it. What is the homework this weekend? Five of us. Mike A's on the line. What's up?
What's going on?
Bubba's on the line. What's up?
Hello.
Pat and Nuno are on the show today, and I am here, and we conduct the draft of the best comedy special since 2000. Bubba, a.k.a. Bubbles, you have the first pick.
No, I do.
I'm sorry. Roger Goodell needs to be
you guys beat. You guys went Tango and Cash for some reason, and now I get the first pick.
I can't conduct the draft appropriately. Mike A, you
have literally just said the order 2 seconds
ago.
Yeah,
and then.
Boomy, boomy.
I'm kind of hoping, by the way, that when Goodell goes to his computer in his basement, his family boos him.
All right,
I think that'll help.
It's not time for you to work on your stand off.
He's doing his bit. Let him work out some material, Nuno.
Jeez, Nuno. Oh, who put Nuno in a bad mood? All right. Well, now I'm throwing off my game. All right, so I was gonna pick...
You can't stand a heckler? Wow, you're never gonna make it in this game.
Absolutely not. My brother told me Patrice O'Neill, he said, trust me, but I've never seen it, so I'm not gonna pick it. I almost went off the board with Elisa Lampanelli, but in the end, when you're picking first, you got to go safe. You got to go good. I'm going Dave Chappelle, Killing Them Softly.
All right. So if you pick Killing Them Softly, do you feel like it would be a mistake for someone else to come back and pick another Dave Chappelle later? Just trying to be clear if I need to move on or not.
It's possible. I have not seen his later one, so I'm going based on what I've seen.
I loved Sticks and Stones, but you know, when everybody lost their minds and the politically correct crowd got upset and the Rotten Tomatoes critics gave him a zero, but the audience gave him 100 on Sticks and Stones, I had to check it out. And it's brilliant. It's deep. It's smart. So I don't know, but you haven't seen it. Okay. So maybe it's still on the board. Okay. Now, Pat, by the way, Pat is our resident stand-up comedy aficionado. It'd be fascinating to see what he does here.
I'm actually kind of mad that I have the second pick, but,
why?
because I'd rather pick someone more obscure, because I can't pick someone obscure now. I have the second
pick. Did
The
Rock ever do a special?
I wish.
I don't bet you did.
He or Vin Diesel.
And The Rock.
No, it's a shame. That could still happen.
First?
I'm going to go Louis C.K. live at the Beacon Theater.
I've seen bits of this, if not the whole thing. It's really good. It's really good. There's some strong contenders here. There's some real strong contenders here. Bubba, you are up.
All right. Well, I don't think I've seen a stand-up special in the 2000s.
Google's stand-up special.
Bubba, what do you do? You haven't seen movies almost in any category. By the way, you're a great judge on Mondays because it's all brand new to you. You haven't seen anything. What do you watch? Just the Mets? That's it?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I guess it's just coming up Mets, I guess.
Hey, hold on. I got you, Bubba. He wins beer pong tournaments in Avon. Five years in a row.
Yeah, we play with actual beer, too.
Yeah, I was going to say. Just sit down from your material there, Nuno.
All right, so, I haven't watched any, but I did see two comics in the 2000s. One of them was Anthony Jeselnik, which I know you guys had up there. And the other one is friend of the show, Norm MacDonald.
Yes. Bob Costas reminded us we need to put Norm MacDonald on the big board.
And the third one I was thinking of going to see soon was Nikki Glaser, who I hear on Howard Stern all the time. But I think I'm just going to go. I obviously haven't seen this, so I have no idea what it is. Looked at it quickly. The reviews seem fine. I'm going to go friend of the show, Norm MacDonald. His most recent special, which is apparently called Hitler's Dog, Gossip and Trickery.
All right. Somebody tweeted in that it's great, by the way. After Bob Costas brought up his Hitler bit with Letterman, they said it's really, really good, his special.
That's a huge overreach.
It's an overdraft, is what
you're
saying?
Yeah, that's a huge overreach.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Oh, what an insult to friend of the show, Norm MacDonald.
It's not nothing against Norm MacDonald. The dude is hilarious, but I don't think it's one of the best comedy specials of the last 20
Sounded
years.
Sounded like an insult to friend of the show.
Yeah, he's a friend of the show, Pat.
Yeah.
He's probably listening right now.
Hey,
do
Norm.
Do you have any ugly words you want to say about Bob Costas, who's a friend of the show as well, while we're at it? Or Tad Prescott, Dak Prescott's brother? Or any other notable celebrities that love this show?
We call him Tad Prescott a notable celebrity?
There you go. Insulting him again. I don't even understand how you're on this show anymore. Look at you. Get him, Tad. You know where to go.
Why are you the way that you are?
Nuno, you're up. What's up, man?
All right. So I'm actually glad Mike didn't go with what he wanted to or what his brother told him to, because that was going to be my pick. So I will go with Patrice O'Neill, Elephant in the Room.
All right. All right. I'm excited. I think if I had the first overall pick, I might have gone Chappelle. Mike, you going Chappelle almost solves it for me. I don't know if Killing Them Softly is better than Sticks and Stones. I loved Sticks and Stones.
Did you see Killing Them Softly?
No, so I'm excited to see it. I don't
nice.
Know. That's what I said. I don't know. In fact, the only one of the ones we picked so far that I have seen is Louis C.K. Live at the Beacon. But I feel confident at the number one overall pick, if I hadn't have gone Chappelle, I would have gone Burr. And you all left Burr for me. And this is huge. Now, it's just which Burr. I love You People Are All the Same, but every list says, I'm Sorry You Feel That Way is the best one. I'm going to have to go with one I've seen that I know is good. I'm going to go with You People Are All the Same, Bill Burr. And I'm going to win, I think. I think it's between me and Mike A. That's what I think is going to happen. I do.
It usually is.
You got last week.
You got last the week before.
Mike A has right. a really high opinion of himself for someone who has been pretty low.
Hold on, hold on. Wait
a
minute.
Wait a second.
Mike, did you run this by your wife? Because last week you got yelled at.
You're just mad that somebody loves me, Nuno.
Does she really love
me? Going on the road.
And when he's got a line to deliver like that, he does it with so much confidence. He doesn't stumble.
He's so excited.
Do you notice that? Like, he doesn't stumble.
Hold up,
he gets
hold
through
up,
it with
up.
Authority. It's amazing. All right, there it is. It is Bubba, Norm MacDonald's, Hitler's dog, and other stuff. Nuno, Patrice O'Neill, Elephant in the Room, Pat, Louis C.K., Live at the Beacon, Mike A., Dave Chappelle, Killing Them Softly, and Will, Bill Burr, you people are all the same. Our comedy special weekend preview is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today. I started the show with who's set at quarterback? Who has their franchise quarterback plans at least for 1 year? Almost everybody. How about 2 years? 70, 80% of the league? What does that leave for Cam and Jameis? What teams truly don't have at least one and possibly two plans to solve their quarterback issues? Next on the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We're a unique moment in NFL history. We're in a moment where 90% of the league feels like they have their quarterback plan set. If not a franchise quarterback, at least the prospect of one over the next year. What happens if you tease it out? Do they? That might indicate whether or not Cam and Jameis have starting jobs available to him. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Kevin Clark has a fascinating article up at The Ringer where he talks about the supply of quarterbacks outstrips demand right now. Never before in the league has it felt like everybody's got a quarterback they at least think they might have a shot. Not just to win with, but to build around. As we looked about it earlier in the show, a full 90% of the league has a plan, a quarterback plan for 2020. And that plan for some teams is in fact two options, two plans. The Bears, the Jaguars, and the Raiders have two working plans going into this season. Obviously, the Bears have the Mitch Trubisky plan and a backup plan in Nick Foles to win and win now. The Raiders have Derek Carr, and they signed Marcus Mariota, who could pull off the reverse Ryan Tannehill in Las Vegas. And the Jags, a little different. They have the Gardner Minshew plan, and that could work one of two ways. If he plays well, they might have a franchise quarterback. If he plays poorly, they're in the running for Trevor Lawrence with the top pick in next year's draft. That's why Cam and Jameis aren't really options for the Jags, because they could play just well enough to take the Jags out of the Lawrence sweepstakes. Now, their plans are Minshew and Lawrence. Really, only three teams aren't settled at quarterback for this coming year, and I identify those teams as the Patriots, the Broncos, who probably think they do with Drew Lock, but if, say, Jameis or Cam ended up in Denver, and for some reason we never talk about that prospect, there's a chance they could beat Drew Lock out. And then I think the Redskins, even though they've invested in Dwayne Haskins, he could lose that job. So if you're Dwayne Haskins, you're looking at Jameis or Cam as a real threat to your job. So that's 90% of the league that feels set for 2020. But what happens if you tease it out? I did that with Andy Benoit, then of Sports Illustrated, a few years ago. It was exactly 2 years ago. Andy and I looked into the same concept. Much of the league feels like it's set at quarterback. We went through, and at the end of Andy's analysis in our conversations, he said, there are four teams that, in the end, aren't settled at quarterback. And those teams were teams like the Dolphins, the Giants, the Titans, and the Bucks. But what's fascinating is you look back at our projection, how many landmines, surprises were in there. Like, we counted on Brady being with the Patriots, Rivers with the Chargers. I mean, this is only two seasons after this analysis, and who's to think, wow, that didn't happen. Obviously, things like Rosen with the Cardinals and now Trubisky with the Bears also look like they weren't going to happen. Cam with the Panthers. As you keep going, it was Bortles with the Jags. What I'm getting at is, even though it felt like everybody had a plan 2 years ago, what ended up happening through surprises like, well, Andrew Luck with the Colts, about a third of the league really didn't have a plan, even if they thought so, some 2 years later. So now let's tease this one out. We once again feel like the league is full of quarterbacks. We feel like there's a supply. We feel like much of the league has got a plan. But do they have one that lasts 2 or 3 years? Because that could help answer where Cam and Jameis find opportunities. Take the Dolphins out. They'll be on either the Herbert or Tua train for the next 3 to 5 years. Same thing with the Bengals. What you end up with is teams that might think they're set this season, but you can't look beyond it. Where does that put you? Well, you have the same teams who are unsettled now, the Pats, the Redskins, and the Broncos. You add to that teams who are settled, but they're old quarterbacks. So essentially the reverse of what happened with Rivers and Brady a few years ago, but with them again. So the Colts will be in the market. The Steelers with an aged Roethlisberger. The Bucks with Brady. And the Saints with Breeze. Those are all added to the potential options 2 to 3 years down the line. Some of these will be eaten up by guys like Trevor Lawrence, and some of these will be eaten up by other quarterbacks like Justin Fields, who's currently at Ohio State. But you start looking, and you can find where the churn will be for Jameis and Cam. Will Teddy Bridgewater be the Panthers quarterback in 3 years? Will Matt Stafford be the Lions quarterback in 2 to 3 years? You start adding up, and in 3 years, what you'll find is about a third of the league will be open for these guys. And you can separate into two categories. One, be the heir apparent to an older, big-time quarterback. Bucks, Colts, Steelers, Saints. Lay in wait for someone to fail. Panthers, Bears, Lions. Unless you can take Drew Locke's job in Denver or Dwayne Haskins' job in Washington, Jameis and Cam are going to have to look into these two categories and hope they get a job in the next 2 to 3 years. And jobs will come open. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Remember, you can watch The Last Dance uncensored on ESPN and censored on ESPN2. It's 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Sunday night. We on the show will all be doing that along with our comedy homework. Norm MacDonald for Bubba, Patrice O'Neill for Nuno, Louis C.K. for Pat, Bill Burr for me, and Dave Chappelle for Mike.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.